This is David Duke. This is David Duke, and I'm speaking to you from Eastern Europe with big news. Our people are going on the offensive in this tremendous propaganda war being waged against us by the Jewish supremacists, both in Eastern Europe, Western Europe, the United States, and around the world. As you know, Abraham Foxman, the ADL, the Seaman Wiesenthal Center, and many other major Jewish organizations have been working nonstop to criminalize any action by European Americans, any speech by European Americans that defends our own heritage, that defends our right to survive, our right to be free, that actually takes a different view of history than they take. That's right. People in Europe today and in Canada are being locked up simply because they have a different historical perspective, a different view. Now, I know that seems awfully strange for a lot of those people listening today, but it's going on, ladies and gentlemen. Freedom of speech has vanished in many parts of the Western world. In the United States of America, if you dare to say certain things, your sight gets filtered. So the people in universities, sometimes in schools, in companies, corporations, institutes, cannot even get the David Duke website or other websites that happen to have a different point of view on certain important political issues. Of course, George Bush is always talking about how the West is free, right, and the Islamic world is not. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are not free. They are working and they are imprisoning people around the world who simply dare to criticize Jewish supremacism. Well, times are changing. The cosmic wheel is turning. And right now, we have a new breaking news story coming out of the nation of Ukraine. This is from the Union News Agency, News from Ukraine. It's a mainstream news agency which is followed by most of the publications in Ukraine. And let me quote to you from this publication. This is brand new, right off the press. And they also have mentioned, of course, me, as they usually do. But it shows exactly how our people are going on the offensive. We are putting forth our ideas, and when these Jewish supremacists keep talking about imprisoning Europeans who dare simply to defend our heritage and want to preserve our heritage, it's time that we ask those authorities to prosecute these Jewish supremacists who are teaching hatred, violence against Europeans and Americans. And ladies and gentlemen, that is truly going on, and I'm going to go into that in detail in a few minutes. But here's the exact quote from this article. Far-rightists target Judeo-Nazis in the Ukraine. Ukrainian nationalists have asked President Viktor Yushchenko to open criminal proceedings against Judeo-Nazis in Ukraine, singling out Chabad rabbis and the main work of Chabad Hasidic literature, the Tanya, according to the web site of the Federation of Jewish Communities of the CIS. In an open letter to Yushchenko, members of the Ukrainian Conservative Party and several far-right-wing editors demanded that Jews be prevented from teaching the Tanya in Jewish schools and synagogues so as to stop the spread of this misanthropic religious system. Yes, this humanity-hating religious system, a system that teaches the hatred of all humanity except for Jews. At the Ukrainian embassy in Tel Aviv, cultural attaché Maxim Osilovic said on Wednesday that his government would investigate the incident. Our official stance is to fight anti-Semitism and xenophobia as much as possible, he said. Jewish organizations, meanwhile, warned of a possible escalation in anti-Semitism. Only a few weeks ago, in one city, two synagogues were vandalized. That's how they always do, ladies and gentlemen. They talk about some sort of sporadic vandalism somewhere and then say that we can't talk about the issues of Jewish hatred. It's so amazing. How in the world can you have laws against hatred and not prosecute this anti-Gentile hatred that is preached in these Jewish organizations. And it's about time our people turned the page and went after these Jewish supremacists for the same rationale that they go after us. The truth is, our material makes their material. our material is so mild compared to anything they put out. In fact, most of our material simply exposes their intolerance. And notice, for instance, that they're calling this attack, actually, on this anti-Gentile, this vicious anti-Gentile literature, they're calling this anti-Semitism. So you see, if we criticize their ethnocentrism, their hatred, their racial supremacism, their anger against Gentiles, if we criticize that, then we're supposed to be anti-Semitic, then we're supposed to be haters. That's as if people in the North criticized the attitude that some whites have toward blacks in the South, you know, and then call those people who criticize that haters and bigots and so forth. Well, we have such a double standard going on right now in our society, in Europe and around the world. It's just absolutely amazing. I'm going to go on with this article. It's pretty interesting. He says, those involved are tied to the Interregional Academy of Personnel Management, known in Ukraine by its acronym MAUP, a sizable college, an unabashedly anti-Semitic publishing house. By the way, it's not only a sizable college. You notice how media always belittles anything that our side does. This university, it's three universities within it. It has 50,000 paying students, a major university campus in the heart of Kiev, and 24 regional campuses across the country. It is the largest university, not only in Ukraine today, it's the largest university in the history of Ukraine, and it's an accredited university around the world. There are many graduates, even other doctoral programs, who are teaching at American universities and other universities around the world. It is a respected, powerful, academically sound university, and yet, again, they call it a sizable college. Well, yeah, it's a little more than a sizable college. But the point is, this is a major educational organization, a university system, and they're coming out and telling the truth. All right, it goes on. MAUP recently presented a blacklist of media and organizations who distribute and defend or support Jewish racism, Jewish Judeo-Nazism, and Jewish organized crime in Ukraine. In June, its conference titled Dialogue of Civilizations, Zionism as the Greatest Threat to Contemporary Civilization, attracted the likes of white supremacist and former, and here it comes again, ladies and gentlemen, the Ku Klux Klan leader David Duke. The campaign is strikingly similar to letters sent to the Russian authorities earlier this year, signed by members of parliament and academia, which attempted to outlaw other Jewish religious books as inhumane and claimed that Jews had staged anti-Semitic attacks to besmirch the name of patriotic Russians. And by the way, their so-called staging of anti-Semitic attacks to besmirch the names of Russians, this has gone on, in the United States thousands of times. And I'm not joking. In fact, Mr. Cox actually did a long report in the United States of bogus hate crimes. And it's incredible the number of hate crimes which turned out to be perpetrated by the very racial minorities and religious minorities, including many, many, many Jewish incidents where Jews were caught painting swastikas on synagogues or in graveyards. Jews were caught doing some sort of action against Jewish facilities in order to, again, bring a public reaction in their Jewish newspapers against any sort of opposition to Jewish supremacism. Anyway, the Federation of Jewish Communities and the Commonwealth of Independent States, which criticized the Russian government at the time for practically ignoring that campaign, called on Ukraine to hold those involved accountable for inciting hatred against Jews. Okay, there you go again, ladies and gentlemen. If you expose Jewish hatred of Gentiles, then you're, quote, inciting hatred against Jews. Isn't this incredible? So if that's true, if they're exposing Gentile hatred by this, then aren't they also inciting hatred, you know, against Gentiles? Aren't they inciting hatred against those people who would oppose Jewish hatred? This goes round and round. I mean, there's no sense to it, but it's typical of the logic of Jewish supremacism. There is no logic to Jewish supremacism. Jewish supremacism is about gaining absolute power over our economics, over our political establishment, and over our minds through their control. Not only the Hollywood industry, which goes out all over the world, but their attempt to control almost all media around the world. It's an amazing phenomenon. Of course, it's being recognized by more and more people. I want to tell you a little funny comment. The other day, somebody told me, a volunteer in my office, Simon, who works very hard in my office, and he volunteers a lot of time, and he helped us put some material out the last few days. He mentioned to me that there was a cartoon show, I don't know if all of you have heard of it or not, called South Park. And South Park is a pretty raucous, almost obscene program. It is kind of funny, although I must say a little bit of I've seen of it. But they had a program, which was a very odd program, where Cartman, who was the fat little boy, kind of the center of the program, he was abducted by aliens, and they take him up to a spaceship. And he and the town of South Park, in fact, the world, learn that the Earth was nothing but a what do they call it? The live programs, a reality TV show for the universe. They created this whole process as a live reality show for the universe, and the whole universe was enjoying to see the fighting, the wars, the hatreds, the violence, and the insanities that go on upon the Earth. Well, anyway, he's up there. They're up there, and they find out the show is going to be canceled. So they attempt to try to stop the cancellation of the program, and they ask to see the heads of the network, this interplanetary galactic network. And so finally, they are taken to the heads of the network, and the heads of the network are called Jewsians. That's right, Jewsians. And they are a caricature of Jews, no question about it. And they even speak with a Yiddish accent. It's absolutely incredible. And it talks about the fact that they are in control of all the media in the known universe. So it really is consistent with what goes on in the Earth. Later the boys from South Park were able to stop the cancellation of the reality TV show called Earth. But, you know, that's in humor. But ladies and gentlemen, it's just about true. And they don't control every bit of media on the Earth, no question about it. But their power in media is enormous. And some of the things said in the program, too, really struck me. It was really amazing. And they talked about, in fact, they had these so-called Jewsian heads of the interplanetary networks. And they were saying how that, let me see if I can quote this exactly. They said, you know, what we did was we took all these people from these different planets. For instance, we took Chinese, which were, you know, or Asian people, which are on one planet, and black people on one planet, and white people on one planet, and we took zebras and buffalo, and we mixed all these different species on one planet because we knew there would be so much trouble. And this would be a great reality television. I mean, man, how true. And of course, the Jewish supremacists have been the primary factors of so-called multiracialism, breaking down borders, mass immigration into European nations, and the resulting conflicts. You know, when people pretty much lived on their own in their own nations and own societies, minded their own business, when Muslims controlled their own communities, their own societies, and we didn't interfere, and they didn't interfere with us, of course, there were always some wars in the peripheral aspects of civilization. The world certainly did not have these tremendous numbers of racial conflicts. In fact, we have huge amounts of racial conflict. There's no question that racial, ethnic, and religious conflicts, and you got to say racial and ethnic are the chief problems, are the biggest causes of warfare in the world. And what does that mean to you? What is, if that's true, what should that mean to us? Well, I think it means to us that the nature of mankind is for people to support their own and to want to preserve their own heritage. And when you force races together, when you mix them together forcibly, against the will of the people in those societies, by the way, because every society has been opposed to opening the gates to immigration. When you do that, what happens, ladies and gentlemen? You have tremendous hatred, violence, and other problems erupt. And, of course, these Jewsians, as it said on South Park, have been in Western civilization for a long time, and they have definitely stirred up a lot of hatred. Let me go down with this article. I'm going to finish it up. He says, surely those in Russia, those responsible saying in Russia they got away with it. That what they got away with was these leading Russian intellectuals, 5,000 editors, writers, sports stars, the chess champion of Russia, the former world chess champion, and so forth and so on, putting together an excellent letter saying that if you're going to prosecute nationalists for exposing Jewish supremacism, then you're going to have to prosecute the Jewish supremacism advocates themselves, these people themselves who are putting out this incredible hatred against European Americans. As you know, again, ladies and gentlemen, for better or worse, as you can see, my name figures prominently in this process. I'm proud to say that I've helped educate a lot of people in Ukraine. My books are sold there. My book, Jewish Supremacism, is published by that university. Sorry, we've had some technical difficulties there. My book, Jewish Supremacism, has been sold now over 600,000 copies. That's according to Jewish sources themselves. That's a huge bestseller, one of the best-selling books in all of Russia. And in Ukraine, the university itself published the book. So I'm going to quote to you some of the passages right from the Jewish publications and from some mainstream publications talking about these passages. All right, let me give an example. A major Jewish publication, the Jewish Chronicle, and that's one of the largest publications in the United States for the Jewish people, revealed that the Jewish term for Gentile woman is the offensive Yiddish term shiksa, which means whore, from the Hebrew root shigetz, meaning abomination. It's also pointed out that the little Gentile girl is called shikselba, meaning little female abomination. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how would Jews react if Gentiles casually referred to Jewish women and little whores as little girls as whores and little whores? Moreover, not only Christians but also non-Christians of all races are regarded as supernal refuse, garbage, in effect, by Talmudic teachers such as the founder of Chabad Lubavitch, Rabbi Shneur Zalman. The Chabad is a powerful movement within Hasidim. The New Republic magazine, which is mostly Jewish staff, had some revealing admissions in a May 1992 edition. Listen to this, these quotes, ladies and gentlemen. There are some powerful ironies in Chabad's new messianic universalism and its mission to the Gentiles. And surely the most unpleasant of them concerns Chabad's otherwise undisguised and even racial contempt for the Goyim. As for the Goyim, Zalman's attitude was, quote, Gentile souls are of a completely different and inferior order. They are totally evil with no redeeming qualities whatsoever. Consequently, references to Gentiles in Rabbi Shneur Zalman's teachings are invariably invidious. Their non-Jews material abundance derives, material abundance derives from supernal refuse. Indeed, they themselves derive from refuse, which is why they are more numerous than the Jews, as the pieces of chaff outnumber the kernels. All Jews were innately good, all Gentiles innately evil. Moreover, this characterization of Gentiles as being inherently evil, as being spiritually as well as biologically inferior to Jews, has not in any way been revised in later Chabad writing. And that's directly out of the New Republic. And again, you can get my book, Jewish Supremacism, and you can even take a look at the sources, and you can go look up the source yourself. That's from New Republic, 1992, the May edition. And it goes on and on, ladies and gentlemen. Now, let's just turn this around for the listeners here, especially who are new to this whole subject of anti-Gentile hatred. All right, let's just imagine. Now, by the way, now let's get this straight. What's going on is the rabbis who are exposing this kind of anti-Zionists who are exposing this anti-Gentile hate, they're being accused of anti-Semitism and hate for exposing it. Well, listen to the hate that they're talking about. It's just imagine for a second, ladies and gentlemen. All right, if we just turn this quotation around, and let me try to get it. Let's just say they were talking about the new conservative party in Ukraine, and they were talking about Gentiles, and I'll just switch the words around, and you tell me what you think is hate or not. There are some powerful ironies in the new conservative party's new messianic universalism and its mission to the to the Jews, and surely the most unpleasant of them concerns the Conservative Party's otherwise undisguised and even racial contempt for the Jews. As for the Jews, Zalman's attitude was, Jewish souls are of a completely different and inferior order. They are totally evil with no qualities, no redeeming qualities whatsoever. And we can go on and on. Moreover, this characterization of Jews as being inherently evil, as being spiritually as well as biologically inferior to Gentiles, has not in any way been revised in later writings of the Conservative Party. You see how this goes? Now, because this group, because the Conservative Party and Mr. Shekolkin, who is the president of the university, because they launched this initiative to expose Jewish hatred, they're being called haters. Boy, let's talk about the pot calling the kettle black. I mean, we can just go on and on in this thing. I mean, it's just really insane the double standards that we have to deal with here. All right, let me give you an example here. I'm going to take a quotation from Mr. Israel Shahak, the man to whom my book Jewish Supremacism is dedicated, a man who survived the concentration camps, the Second World War, was Jewish, immigrated to Israel, became a chemistry professor there, and a leader in the peace movement. And he wrote many things. Of course, he read Hebrew fluently, obviously, and he wrote many exposing aspects of what they do. And here's a quotation from his book. And he's talking about some of the Jewish groups are in Israel right now. He says, quote, Jewish children are actually taught passages such as that which commands every Jew, whenever passing near a cemetery, to utter a blessing if it's Jewish, but to curse the mothers of the dead if it is non-Jewish. It became customary to spit usually three times upon seeing a church or a crucifix. The other day I ran a story on davidduke.com about the fact that many Orthodox Christian priests and Christian ministers in Israel were actually coming forward and complaining because so many of these religious Jews were spitting on them in the street. I mean, that's about as disgusting as you can get. I mean, they're expectorating on these individuals in the street purposely. That, ladies and gentlemen, is hatred. And if anybody dares to expose this kind of hatred, they're called a hater. That's the kind of reality that we have right now going on in the world. But as you can see, things are changing. It is so overdue that we have major organizations like this university come forward, and other leading intellectuals and leaders of Ukraine, as well as in Russia, with a letter of 5,000 demanding that if the Jews are going to have these hate laws that they've passed and put into place in so many countries around the world, then that they also be applied against the Jewish supremacists. Of course, the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing that the Gentiles say in anywhere near as terrible as the quotations I just gave you about what they say about us. The head of the Conservative Party in Ukraine has never said that Jews were biologically inferior. I don't even say that. I say that we're different. In fact, Jews are pretty smart people, you know. And there's a certain level, there's a certain amount of them, the leaders of the Jewish people, no question about it, who are supremacists and are dedicated to a supremacist idea. Israel is a supremacist country, and their religion is one that teaches a great deal of animosity toward Gentiles and fear of Gentiles and loathing of Gentiles. That's why they do this on purpose. It helps preserve their race. It is a device by which they keep their people from intermarrying with Gentiles. And they have many campaigns, by the way, against intermarriage with Gentiles. If we try to do that, according to our media, then we're supposed to be evil sons of guns. But if they do it, they're supposed to be wonderful, loving people, right? Trying to preserve the Jewish people. Well, don't we have a right to be preserved as well? You know, our people don't say that they have an inferior soul. Our people don't say that they're totally evil, you know. And yet, you know, but for some reason, by quoting what they say about Gentiles, we're supposed to be evil. We're supposed to be haters. The hypocrisy goes beyond human belief. Listen, you can comment about this subject or anything else you'd like to comment about on directly to me by email, and you can simply email me at info1@davidduke.com. That's info1@davidduke.com. And you can post on stormfront.org. That's stormfront.org. And I think you'll have a very enlightening experience if you go to Stormfront, because there are literally thousands of people online at any one moment There's been well over many millions of posts on this website. They have over 50,000 active members on Stormfront at the present time. And Stormfront is one of the leading websites of the world. And, of course, DavidDuke.com and WhiteCivilRights.com are also working very hard to educate people. We don't do the forum type of education so much. We leave that to Stormfront, but we do more of the lead articles by educators, writers, and, of course, yours truly, David Duke, who continues to work as hard as I can to wake up our people wherever they may dwell. And I think so far that some of my work has been productive, and I think you've seen a lot of good things come out of Russia and Ukraine since the time that I've been spending there over the last few years. And I've spent a lot of time there trying to wake up people and also help the intellectual community get a real good basis of the modern understanding of the threat of Jewish supremacism, rather than some of the dated material they've used for years. I understand the power of books like The Protocols. The problem with books like The Protocols is that the Jews can show pretty effectively that the Protocols, or parts of the Protocols, were written long before their publication in Russia. And they were almost word for word from another publication that came out in France earlier. The Protocols, though, have a lot of interesting information, and when they talk about Jewish power and Jewish supremacism over Gentiles, it seems the world has followed the same path the Protocols have laid out. So whoever wrote the Protocols, whether it was written by Jews or whether it was written by the Tsar's secret police in resisting Jewish Bolshevism in Russia, it's still an interesting book. But the Protocols are not a good book to reach people from the standpoint of educating them on the question, because the Jewish press and the Jewish media can make the point that this book is inauthentic and that it's been discredited and it's a work of plagiarism. And they can do that pretty effectively. It's an interesting book for people to read as they get into the question, but it's not going to make the big difference in the world. My book, on the other hand, goes directly from Jewish sources. It's modern, and I think it's all-encompassing. It really gets the basic, it really puts down the basic issues that we're talking about. It shows the domination of the press and how they use that domination of the press to advance their agenda. It shows their domination of media. It shows even a lot of the activities surrounding the 9/11 event, which shows you how that we're not getting the true facts of what's happening about the attack on the Liberty, for instance, the Levon affair. It goes into their role in breaking down the immigration barriers around the world, and it thoroughly exposes their writings and their own leaders and tolerances and hatreds toward Europeans and people of European descent around the world. In fact, all non-Jews. And it's funny, and again, nowhere in my book is there any sort of hatred. You know, again, I don't say that Jews are inferior beings. I don't say that they are evil and they have evil souls. I say nothing like they say. But for me to expose the intolerance that exists in the Jewish religion, the Jewish community, the Jewish establishment in Israel toward Gentiles is that's considered hatred. But since when has exposing hatred in a group or an organization, since when has that been legitimately called hatred? But I guess when you control the press, you can just say whatever you want to say whenever you want to say it. And that's probably one of the main reasons why they have this domination and this control of the press. We have the biggest scandal, one of the biggest scandals that should be written about in the history of the United States going on right now, where the largest, most powerful political lobby in the United States of America, AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, is right now having top people involved in the organization being indicted for espionage. That's right, spying against the United States of America on behalf of a foreign power. And yet this organization has given millions to American congressmen, American senators. Shouldn't that be a scandal that should be headlined 6 inches high on every newspaper across America? That an organization that has so much influence in the American political establishment that literally bribes American congressmen and senators and opinion leaders in this country with hundreds of millions of dollars, and in turn gets billions and billions of dollars in aid for Israel out of the American taxpayer. We give aid to Israel that no individual American gets from the American government. You know, and
you know, we've got to begin, ladies and gentlemen, to expose all this hypocrisy, and that's what this website is doing, and that's why I think I've gotten a lot of the ire of the people that have a lot of the power right now in our society. Well, let's go to Stormfront. Let me take a couple of the posts from the last couple of days, and people have asked about the broadcast link. We'll have this broadcast, by the way, up in our archives very quickly after the show ends, hopefully, if there's no technical difficulties. I would think within 15 to 20 minutes after the end of the show, this show will be up. And, in fact, we don't have too many more minutes. I went on and on today about the issue. On the Michael Chertoff issue, which I talked about yesterday, which is getting still a lot of play, and I first brought this up a few months ago, but we need to keep hitting this again and again. I mean, Michael Chertoff, the head of Homeland Security, has been shown to have very close ties to the man, the major suspect in the United States of helping to finance the 9/11 attacks. That's right. A man involved with the 9/11 attacks, the September 11th attack on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and the American people, that this individual who's suspected of financing this by many major figures, including one of the members of the House of Representatives Intelligence, our committee that was investigating 9/11, he had close ties to the man who's now head of Homeland Security. Now, if that's not scary and strange, I don't know what to tell you. And also, by the way, I want to tell you, the DVDs are coming in this next week. Get your order in now. You can get all four of them. And by the way, they're double-layered this year. That means they're double-sized. 2.5 hours per DVD or 2.5 hours per VHS tape. And so we have over 10 hours of the conference. Heck, that's more tape of the International European American Conference than you had of Lord of the Rings. that was played. All three sections. A tremendous buy, a tremendously inspiring event. Watching this conference and listening to the speakers will educate you, will motivate you, it'll entertain you. And it's one of the most important events. I think the creation of this, both the conference and the video documentary of this conference, the DVDs and VHS tapes, are tremendous. And right now, we're going to offer them as an initial offering. The regular DVDs, it's a four-volume set. Each DVD was $25 retail. And that's really cheap, to tell you the truth, because we're not like these people that can mass-produce millions of them, get the cost down. We have to produce a lot fewer than that, about 1,000 of each one, basically. That's the minimum to get a good glass master. And what we're doing right now is we're cutting the price to $19.95 per individual DVD or VHS tape. Or if you get the set, the entire set of four, it's only $65. And as one added bonus, if you want to have the tapes or the DVDs of 2004 as well as 2005, all eight tapes together, the offer is $100. And you can take one of those sets and give it as a gift to those people you're trying to wake up, or for birthdays or presents or whatever. They're just fantastic. They're in beautiful bounding, full color bindings, and a beautiful hardcover DVD case. They are. I mean, what else can I say about them? I mean, they're just fabulously excellent quality. It just looks like some sort of movie production. It's just great. So if you want to do that, if you want to get involved with that, just go to davidduke.com and go to the shop section, and you can order those as soon as you desire to. Oh, okay, ladies and gentlemen, let me go on here, and from 14 Words of Truth. He says, well, I guess that Bush and his Jewish masters are celebrating tonight. Texas is now officially more than half non-white. The news was announced today, and that's from the old man of the mountain. The old man of the mountain. Okay. Let's see what else we have here. Now, this is an individual whose writing says, I'd like to order your books in my shop. Could you reply to me as soon as possible with terms and conditions? And that's from Jarko Sandell, and that's from Burning Books from Finland. He's got a shop. Well, great. All over the world, people are listening to this program, and it's great to know that people are acting. Here's an individual from a man named Fritz. He says, at the age of 44, the doctor advised me to get the typical battery of tests from a man my age. I'm going in tonight. I'm up late contemplating my morality. I'm not sure if there's an afterlife, but I'm wondering what I would say to some of the spirits I might encounter there. How would the founding fathers, who risked their lives and fortunes just by signing the Declaration of Independence, judge me if I lacked even the courage to send a letter to the German embassy asking that Ernst Sindel be freed? How could I face Jim Bowie or Colonel Crockett knowing that I lacked the nerve or initiative to send a letter to my congressman asking him to do something about immigration? How could I even face my own grandparents who risked everything to come to this country so that I, their sacred progeny, could have a better life if I didn't do everything I could to keep this country great and free for my grandchildren? He goes on, he says, I'm going to go down to the last paragraph. I don't think that there will be enough time for me to... I don't think that will be enough to allow me to look John Hancock and Nathan Hale in the eye if they ask me what I did with my life. But I won't put my head down and say, well, I listen to David Duke every day, and that's about it. Well, thanks, Fritz. Thanks, Fritz, and you're definitely saying a lot. This is an individual. This is from... Alex in Canada. He says, first of all, your works look like great serious work about the Jewish problem. I'd like to know if your books are available in French. Thanks a lot. And please continue your very great job. And yes, they're being translated, in fact, by some people in French Canada at this very moment as we speak. I imagine that's going to still take a few more weeks or months, but as soon as we get that book into French, it'll be available for French speakers around the world. And we will continue. Ladies and gentlemen, that's about it. I've really gone over time again. Of course, it's Friday. Tomorrow we're going to have, of course, Bob Whitaker taking in my time slot. And then on Sunday I'll be back with you for the biggest show of the week, and that's always the Sunday show. Until then, I want to tell you that do use your fingers and your minds. Go to your keyboard when this is over and spread some of this data around the Internet. Give people some knowledge and some understanding of what's happening here. It's really up to you. So until Sunday, and until tomorrow for Bob Whitaker, this has been David Duke.
This has been David Duke for our heritage and our freedom.